The Lone Star Broadcasting Network presents Standing Freedom.
Welcome to Standing Freedom. I'm Gigi Arnetta. Today on the show, I have Mike Kimmel joining me, actor, director, writer extraordinaire. He's going to be telling us about his new book, Scenes for Teens. And also on Standing Freedom, we have Bernard von Nothaus. He is the monetary architect of the Liberty Dollar. You may have heard of it over the years. Bernard designed, developed, and issued the private gold and silver-based Liberty Dollar on October 1st, 1998. And Standing Freedom is promoting God's Soldier Ministries. Nico Hill, known as Nico the Dragon, knows a fight, but now he knows the good fight. Go to the ministry website at godssoldierministries.com and donate today. Give a love offering of $25 or more, and you can get a copy of his book. So let's get started. Mike, thank you so much for being on the What's Good Hollywood segment of Standing Freedom today.
Oh, thank you so much, Gigi. It's a pleasure to be here and hear what you've got to say and questions you've got to ask about my book, and just appreciate the opportunity.
Can you tell us about your new book, Scenes for Teens? How did that get started for you?
Yes, actually, I've been teaching acting for quite a while and been an actor in New York and Los Angeles and throughout the South for many, many years. Had an opportunity to teach teenagers recently, and I had worked with adults quite a bit, and of course I had a lot of scripts to draw upon for adult actors in classes, but working with teenagers, I found there was a real alarming shortage of good scene material for teenagers, because whether they are working towards performing on stage or in film and television, one thing is consistent throughout. They need to be able to do conversational dialogue realistically, to be able to talk back and forth with one another and make it seem as though they're in a real conversation. And there was a real shortage of material that allowed them to train in that way. So I started working on my own material and compiling it week by week as exercise for the teenagers in class to use. And little by little, I found that the material was working for them, and I had enough for a book. So I thought, you know, let me compile this into a book that other teachers across the country can use. And actually, I've even found teachers from other countries picking it up as well. So it's been a real rewarding experience.
So tell me, what was your inspiration? What inspired you to write the book? Was it your journey through your acting career? Was it your writing? I understand you have a couple of plays you've written. What was it exactly that inspired you to get to the point where you put pen to paper?
Oh, gosh, yeah. Now you got me. It's my personal story. I don't talk about this a lot, but I've known since I was a little itty-bitty tyke growing up in the Bronx, New York, since I was about 4 or 5 years old. I've known that I wanted to act on TV and film and stage and write books and write scripts. And at that time, and in my area, there was really nothing available. And I looked, and my folks looked, and there was nothing really accessible and available out there for us at that time. Now, I guess there's just a lot more, and things are a lot more accessible. You can go online and find things more easily. But at that time, all we were able to locate at that location and at that period of time was, you know, kind of some scams that were going on. People would advertise in the newspaper, hey, get your kid into showbiz. And there were some gullible people that would respond to those ads and really be taken for thousands and thousands of dollars. And I really knew what I wanted to do, even at a young age, and couldn't find the resources. And even in the library, there were not really any good books available that simplified the acting and auditioning process for young people. So that was what I really wanted to do. I really wanted to write a book that I would have liked to receive as a birthday present when I was a kid or when I was a teenager. That was the inspiration.
Mike, I was wondering if maybe you could come back and join me for a full 30 minutes, maybe sometime. We could talk about your journey as an actor and also your writing experience.
I think it's a probability, a possibility of 100%, unless we can go over 100%. And we always have a saying, any day I talk with the one and only Gigi Arnetta is better than any 10 days that I don't talk to the one and only Gigi Arnetta. So yes, yes, and more yes. That is my response. We'd love to talk more to your listeners.
So where could someone pick up a copy of Scenes for Teens?
Yes, Scenes for Teens is available on Amazon and on Barnes & Noble, also in several bookstores online, also at Brilliant Books and several other local bookstores. But Amazon and Barnes & Noble are usually the first and best spot, and you can pick it up there, and you can also read a little excerpt from the book online. And I wrote it specifically so that kids and teenagers can pick it up and start practicing immediately. The intention was really to simplify the process as much as possible.
And what if a parent or a teacher has a question about the Scenes for Teens book? How do they get a hold of you?
You can reach me through my website. It's mikekimmel.com, or direct contact is, mike@mikekimmel.com is good.
You have something else in the works. Can you give us a little sneak peek as to what that is?
Yes, yes, yes. I don't want to give out the title just yet, but yep, I'll give you a little sneak preview. I'm doing a second book, a follow-up book to Scenes for Teens. It's going to be a very similar format, but it's going to be geared towards even younger kids, ages 6 to 12. And the process is exactly the same. I just wanted to simplify things as much as possible for younger kids, basically, so that they can pick up the book, grab a friend, grab a scene partner, and just practice realistic conversational dialogue back and forth. So that's what I'm working on next.
Mike, thank you so much for being on the What's Good Hollywood segment of Standing Freedom.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Bernard, thank you so much for being here today on Standing Freedom. Can't wait to hear about that Trump dollar.
It's my pleasure, Gigi.
Can you start by telling us a little bit about yourself and how you got into this whole arena?
I'll take it real quickly because it started back on September the 11th, 1974, when I had an epiphany and I wrote my first economic research paper. And then for the next 25 years, I was a mint master at the Royal Hawaiian Mint. And during those 25 years, I became a keen student of monetary economics. And as an outgrowth of that, I designed and developed a new private monetary system. And after 25 years, I had always said I would retire after 25 years. And so when 25 years came up, I said, well, it's either time to shut up or put up. Anyway, so after 25 years, I decided to retire from the Mint. And I started an organization called NORFED, National Organization for Repeal of the Federal Reserve Act and the Internal Revenue Code, and launched the Liberty Dollar as a product to exemplify what a private monetary system would work like. And it became wildly successful. With $6,500 of seed money, it grew to issue somewhere between 65 to 85 million Liberty Dollars. So it was wildly successful. Obviously, too wildly successful, or maybe just too wild for the federal government. So they came down and go into the trial and stuff, but it was just a lot of minutia. I should not have been convicted, but the bottom line is the same old economic persecution. They raid you. The FBI raided the warehouse. They confiscated 11 tons in total in terms of gold, silver, and copper. They take all your money. You have no money for your defense. With no money for your defense, you have nothing but a public defender who is paid by the court and in cahoots with the DOJ. So I was just a sacrificial lamb in the name of sound money.
Let's talk a little bit about the case and how the government came and confiscated the Liberty Dollar, because I don't think people realize how they can just basically raid whoever they want at whatever time they want and take whatever they want.
Oh, it happens all the time, you know, usually with drugs or something like that. But no, you don't get a warning. Obviously, you're going to flash the stuff stashed down the toilet. I mean, you know, there's no warning here at all. You know, and all this is done in secret behind the closed doors of the FBI, which took over the case. It should have been handled by the Secret Service, but the FBI, you know, the same people at Waco, same people at Oklahoma, the same people at 9/11, you know, the FBI, you know who those people are and how bad they are. So anyway, so the FBI raided the warehouse where the gold and silver and copper was being stored, and they also raided, well, they raided 7 different places in 5 states on one day. So it was really a very coordinated effort. So they raided the office in Evansville, Indiana, and the CPA firms and the printing and all this sort of stuff. It was a big raid. It all happened in one day.
And in one day, they hit multiple locations?
5 locations, 4 states, right.
So what were they claiming? What was their argument?
Well, they were claiming that the Liberty Dollar was counterfeit. Corey, their expert witness, and again, here's another little thing. My expert witness was barred from coming because my public defenders didn't think we needed him. There's 1,000 different things that's wrong with my case, include the conviction.
Tell us a little bit about this public defender you had.
Right. He whittled away on my whole case, and what he didn't whittle away on, he flubbed in court. It was god-awful. I mean, it was a scenario that you wouldn't imagine. In hindsight, I'm a lot more savvy than what I was before, but unfortunately, people don't usually have more than one big federal case. That's usually enough for most people. And, of course, the government. You know, the government wins 97% of all their cases. 97%. That's staggering. And you know how they do that? You know how that happens? The public defenders co-opt their sacrificial lamb to the DOJ to be convicted, just like I was. 97%. How in the hell could you do anything 97% of the time? Perfect. Win. 97%. Unrealistic. Unfair. Represents a flaw, a very, very serious flaw in our judicial system.
And it doesn't even matter who's in the White House. You've got the FBI, CIA. The whole thing is a racket. But the biggest racket is the Federal Reserve. How is the Federal Reserve involved in this?
Actually, they didn't play any role at all. They actually were interviewed by quite a few of the different reporters that wrote articles on the Liberty Dollar. And, of course, the reporters or the publisher or editor wanted to make sure that they're writing an article about a lawful organization instead of publicizing some criminal operation. So they would always contact the FBI or the Department of Treasury or somebody like that, Secret Service. They would contact somebody in government and say, "What do you know about the Liberty Dollar? Is it legal? Can I write an article about it?" And repeatedly, over and over and over again, the government came back and said the Liberty Dollar was legal. Over and over and over again, Gigi. So there was no doubt that it was legal. I mean, the government said it was legal. And, of course, that helped an awful lot of people jump on board with the Liberty Dollar because they go, "Well, the government says it. Here's this article right here says that it's legal. So it must be legal." So, I mean, you know, when you get comments like that from on high, man, it makes you believe that it's legal.
You've sold a lot of Liberty Dollars over the years. Are they planning on confiscating all Liberty Dollars?
Well, it's really complicated. The judge did not want to rule all the Liberty Dollars to being contraband. So what the judge did, he ruled that all Liberty Dollars before 2007 were not contraband, and all the Liberty Dollars after 2000, that'd be 2007, 8, and 9, those 3 years, were contraband. So the vast majority of Liberty Dollars have been ruled not contraband by the federal district court Judge Voorhees. That's fantastic. So of the property that was confiscated, the vast majority of the property was confiscated from hundreds and hundreds of people. And so after the trial, after my conviction, and it starts the trial for the property that was confiscated, and 3 cheers for the Liberty Dollar team, they filed more petitions to recover their property than anybody else ever in federal history. There were over 300 individual separate petitioners. Huge, absolutely huge. And what's fantastic about that was is that on the very first go-around, the government obviously heard the forfeiture government, now the attorney for the forfeiture, obviously got the message, because he approved 265 out of the 305, 10 or something like that, petitioners for their property right off the bat. This is amazing. I mean, that's even more amazing than Liberty Collar me, because you know, that just never happened. But to make that even more amazing was that usually when you get your property back, you don't get your property back. You get the value of your property back, and that's it. They send you a check, and they go, okay, this is it. Disappear. Get out of my life, you know. In this particular case, the judge ruled that the people would actually get Liberty Dollars. So people who petitioned the court for their confiscated, wrongfully confiscated property were actually getting gold and silver Liberty Dollars back. This is phenomenal.
What is the Liberty Dollar, for those who aren't familiar with it?
Well, it's a private currency, and it's 100% gold and silver backed, and it was issued in three different formats. One, paper, which was warehouse receipts. Two, it was issued in specie, in other words, gold and silver, round coin-like objects. And number three, it was issued in digital form, like Bitcoin or something like that. So you had a chance to utilize a Liberty Dollar in any one of those particular forms, or a lot of people had them in all three forms, for that matter. So we issued these, and the warehouse receipts were 100% backed, and when people turned in the warehouse receipts, they got gold and silver Liberty Dollars. That's all there was to it, real simple. It is a private currency like money should be. We should not be ripped off by the government's money, and we are ripped off every single day. To make matters worse than that, if that isn't reprehensible enough, it is the U.S. dollar, the manipulation of U.S. dollar, is what finances war, war, and war. If there's anything uglier about our government, is that it is the largest warmonger on the planet. If the government quit selling arms, we'd have a whole lot less war in the world. That would take away from the industrial military regime that we're living under.
For the years that they said it was an illegal currency, was there any digital available?
The digital was backed up by gold and silver. And so it's just like a warehouse receipt is a piece of paper that says bearer upon, you know, redeemable by bearer on demand for 1 ounce of silver. So that's a piece of paper. So it's the same thing in digital form. You have so many digital Liberty Dollars, and you can turn those in. If we're at the $20 base, you turn in 20 digital Liberty Dollars and you get your ounce of silver. That's all there is to it. There was no digital warehouse after the raid, which was in 06. So because of that, there's no question that people will get their property back that had property in the warehouse if they petition to get their property back. A lot of people did not petition to get their property back. A lot of people were so, call it, dedicated, naive, thick-headed. I don't know what you might say, but some people said, I'm not going to do anything. I don't want to do anything with the government. You're going to give your property to the government because you're so ideological that you're not going to petition for your property? I couldn't believe it. I mean, you know, that, for me, that's over the top. They take my property. I want my property back.
Let's fast forward to 2016. Where's the Liberty Dollar at now? Is there a Liberty Dollar?
There is no Liberty Dollar. Since the raid, and, well, there were some Liberty Dollars after the raid, but after my arrest in 2009, there have been no Liberty Dollars.
But you've come up with a new dollar.
Well, I did. I did serve my probation and serve my time. And I would never have thought about another dollar, for that matter. But as it turned out, Trump is just, you know, so big and so vocal and so much in the news and stuff. And I had done a Ron Paul dollar when he was running back in 2006. So the idea just sprang in my mind, and that you know, why don't I do one of these and don't do what I was convicted of, and tell people to use these as money, And so on the Trump dollar, it says not to be used as current money. So there's that disclaimer on there, and I'm not encouraging people to use Trump dollars in commerce. That's what I was convicted of. So I'm very clear about my domain and where the Trump dollar can exist. So as it is, the Trump dollar is totally legal. People are buying lots of them, and I'm happy about that. And, you know, basically what it is, you know, Trump is running on discontent of voters. People are fed up about the government, and particularly about the federal government. People just aren't happy with the federal government. People are picking up on the Trump dollar as an example of venting their frustration, a manifestation of their frustration. Price of silver is up 3% this month. It looks like silver is going to make a run for it. And, you know, so here's an opportunity for people that are hip to silver to buy a few Trump dollars, and they'll probably appreciate. First day of issue is already appreciated from $35 to $45. So, you know, here you have a commodity that's going to be appreciating. Hell, that's a lot better than the U.S. dollar, for Pete's sake. You know, this answers the question about how do you vent or materialize or even capitalize on your frustration about the federal government. People do all sorts of bad things, and I'm not suggesting people should do any bad things, but, you know, people get frustrated. People know that they're not happy right now. And so when Mr. Trump comes along and voices his feelings for what the government is doing and how badly they've been performing, everybody is going, yeah, 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 you know. And so this is why people are gravitating to Trump, because he's actually, as I know this sounds utterly chilling when you refer to this in terms of the government, Trump is actually telling the truth. Yeah. And the truth is the common knowledge of the common man in the United States, and that is the government sucks. And what they've been doing sucks big time. So mirroring that reflection, of which I feel strongly about myself, is that, hey, this is a natural.
Now, the Trump dollar has world peace written on it. Tell me about that.
It does. It does. Isn't that amazing? And I'm really glad you brought that up, Gigi. It's amazing the number of people who actually point that out to me, and they go, what about world peace? I said, well, I deliberately put that on there. And I put that on there because as I've gotten older, I have felt more dedicated or activist-orientated towards a more peaceful society. And at the same time, I've become abhorrent with the federal government and their war machine. And so I think that Mr. Trump has a unique possibility to bring about world peace. I think that we should have had it years ago, but the military, political, economic machinery wouldn't have of that because they're making too damn much money killing people, you know, killing people. And they're not treating our vets with respect and medical attention that they deserve. So I put that on there because it's my little voice in the dark that says, value-based money creates world peace. Can create world peace. The world was a lot more peaceful when you had a gold standard. And the world has been a lot more militant, murdering, treacherous place since we didn't have the gold standard. This is not by chance, Gigi. We should be living in the land of plenty. Just take a look at one thing. 100 years ago, turn of the century, how many people were homeless on the streets 100 years ago? None. We had no homeless 100 years ago. The homeless is an outgrowth of bad economic policy. So when I put world peace on there, I mean peace at home, that'd be here in the United States, and peace abroad and peace everywhere in the world. I'm sure there's in Somalia, those crazy guys, they could be the war, you know, who knows it, you know. There may be some skirmishes around the world, but we don't need to have anything like the atrocious anti-civil warlike machine that is happening now. So I feel very, very strongly about that. I'm really happy you mentioned that, because it is a particular statement that I like to publicize and urge Donald Trump to go after world peace. And it could be extremely simple. Some of the things that Mr. Trump says are just right on. And he has, I hope that he has the ability to put those into action. I think it should be dramatic. Dramatic.
And if our listeners want to purchase the Trump dollar, how do they do that?
Well, I think it'd be wonderful if they did, because that means I could go out here and talk about Trump dollar more. It's real simple. Just go to TrumpDollar.us. That's the website. And we have $5 coppers there, all the way up to $2,450, actually, to be exact. Gold set that has this incredible double split pie for it. You'd have to read about it to really understand it. But anyway, silvers are $25 a piece. So it's going up. I would imagine that we're going to raise that, because we can't be selling it at a loss. That's just the bottom line. That's the way our economic system works. We can't sell at a loss. The government can do that because they screw everybody else out of the money. We can't do that. So TrumpDollar.us, just get whatever you want. Get them now.
Boy, those gold coins are nice.
Oh, and it's a 2 ounce. If you saw that yourself, it is really, really, there's never been double split gold pie fort like that ever manufactured. Pie forts are a very unique numismatic item. And there are such things as split pie fort. And I've done the regular pie fort. I've done a split pie fort. And now I've done a double split gold pie fort. This is going to set a standard for the next, I don't know, 100 years or so. I mean, I have no idea where coins are going to be. But this really has set a whole brand new standard. We're selling a political memorabilia. And also on the reverse, you know, it talks about freedom of political speech. So I know this field probably better than anybody else, Gigi. I was sentenced. I served my sentence. Footloose and fancy free. I've been in a coin business for 42 years. Rarely have I ever had a dissatisfied customer. The guy's got to be really, really bad to be dissatisfied with what I do. I've done over 2,000 designs in my career. I have a stunning career and a stunning reputation, complete with being a domestic terrorist. What a bunch of BS.
Well, we're wrapping it up. Bernard, thank you so much for being on Standing Freedom.
It's been a real pleasure, Gigi. Thank you very much for asking me to talk about a Trump dollar.
And today's scripture comes from the God's Word translation of the Holy Bible given to me by Reverend Heckbart. Thank you, Reverend Heckbart. Two scriptures to keep in mind for the week. Proverbs 22:7. A rich person rules poor people, and a borrower is a slave to a lender. Philippians 4:19-20. My God will richly fill your every need in a glorious way through Christ Jesus. Glory belongs to our God and Father forever. Amen.